Hey, podcasters, what a great day to have The Blaze and to listen to all of the programs for The Blaze, because you're going to get all of the important people in the conservative movement and their take on it.
Yeah, so why not subscribe today? BlazeTV.com. If you use the promo code Glenn, you'll save $10. But the big deal here is you're going to get all of these shows, all these different looks at this situation. And it's one of those days, there is plenty to say.
Boy, there's plenty to say. We start the podcast with the actual reading of the Attorney General's report on the investigation. And this is so important because, as you will see as the podcast unfolds, it answers all of the questions that the Democrats are asking right now. They are not being genuine on this. This is a total disingenuous ask of the American people. Well, we need to see the whole full report. Why won't they release the full report? Well, they didn't make this decision, on the facts. They were looking at whether or not Mueller could indict the president. No, as you will find out, none of that is true.
Yeah, we also go through the big winners and losers, all the things that you should take out of this and what we took out of this as a day. And then, you know, one of the points you made, Glenn, was that we spent 2 years thinking about the Mueller thing when we could have been focusing on more important things, one of which is life. And we go into that story with a movie coming out this weekend.
Yeah, called Unplanned. Abby Johnson and Ashley Bratcher, who plays Abby in this movie, that opens this weekend. I cannot recommend it high enough. Go to glennbeck.com. You will see that I am going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah, at a couple of different theaters with the premiere of this movie this Friday. You can grab your tickets online. We'll have more on that, and it's also in the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right. So I want to take you through the Attorney General's letter that came out last night. Now, it's interesting. Usually bad news on the government is dumped on a Friday. This report was filed by Mueller on Friday, and I immediately thought, of course it's good for Trump, because if it's not good for Trump, it would come out on a Monday. But it's good for Trump, so it's coming out on a Friday. Now, you can play that one way or another, or it was just time to release the report. Now, the Attorney General, yesterday, he issues a report on the report. So we're never going to see the report, and that's by law. This is under a grand jury kind of rule. It is full of raw information, and you don't just release this by law. So nobody can really release it. They can release parts of it, but you can't release and dump the whole thing. And that's a good thing. Otherwise, you end up with what we had that started all of this, that stupid Russiagate story. What was his name from MI5 that released all of this information, you know, that he was peeing on people and everything else. You don't want the raw information. So here is the Attorney General's letter that came out yesterday. On Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination of decisions that he has reached, as required by blah, blah, blah. This report is entitled Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election. Although my review is ongoing, I believe that it is in the public interest to describe the report and to summarize the principal conclusions reached by the special counsel and the results of his investigation. The report explains that the special counsel and his staff thoroughly investigated allegations that members of the president's campaign of Donald J. Trump and others associated with it conspired with the Russian government in its efforts to interfere in the 2016 U.S. presidential election or sought to obstruct the related federal investigations. In the report, the special counsel noted that in completing his investigation, now listen to this, he employed 19 lawyers who were assisted by a team of approximately 40 FBI agents, intelligence analysts, forensic accountants, and other professional staff. The special counsel issued more than 2,800 subpoenas executed nearly 500 search warrants, obtained more than 230 orders for communication records, issued 50 orders authorizing the use of pen registers. Find out what that is, would you? Made 13 requests for foreign governments for evidence and interviewed approximately 500 witnesses. Would you say that's thorough? Sounds like it. The special counsel obtained a number of indictments and convictions of individuals and entities in connection with his investigation, all of which have been publicly disclosed. During the course of his investigation, the special counsel also referred several matters to other offices for further action. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have yet to be made public. Below, I summarize the principal conclusions set out in the special counsel's report. So the first thing he's saying is pretty thorough. Pretty darn thorough. We talked to a lot of people, spent a lot of money and almost 2 years of everybody's life. Here's what we found out. First, Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The special counsel's report is divided into two parts. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russia interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. The report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. The special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. As the report states, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Is everybody clear on that? The Russians were influencing our election, something we told you would happen in 2014, something we warned the government. We told everybody that would listen to us. This is what they're planning on doing. The Trump administration had nothing to do with it, the campaign, nor anyone involved with the campaign. The special investigation determined that there were two main Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election. The first involved attempts by Russian organization, the Internet Research Agency, IRA, to conduct disinformation and social media operations in the United States designed to sow social discord. Let me say that again. Designed to sow social discord. This is my commentary. In this, the Russians succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Look at what they've done. I would be interested to see if there was any Russian effort after to also accuse Trump and to defend Trump, because that's exactly what they were doing during the campaign, taking both sides and stirring them up. Any more of this over this stupid thing on the election, any more of this, in my opinion, is only helping the Russians. We all know now there was no collusion. There was no cooperation. There wasn't any of that. So anyone who is now bringing this up is only doing the work of the Russians. Stop it right now. The special counsel did not find that any U.S. person or Trump campaign official or associate conspired or knowingly coordinated with the IRA in its efforts. although the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian nationals and entities in connection with these activities. Good. The second element involved in the Russian government's effort to conduct computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence the election. The special counsel found the Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign and Democratic Party organizations. This publicly disseminated... Wait, hang on just a second. They also publicly disseminated those materials through various intermediaries, such as WikiLeaks. Based on these activities, the special counsel has brought criminal charges against a number of Russian military officers for conspiring to hack into computers in the United States for purposes of influencing an election. But as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. This is really critical because this goes to why they did not pursue a conspiracy, or I'm sorry, a warrant or an indictment of obstruction of justice. They're saying that they made several attempts and they were turned down by the Trump campaign every time. Every time they would make the attempt, the Trump campaign may take that meeting, but it was exactly as Trump said. Who wouldn't take that meeting? But we never did anything on it. Is everybody clear on this? By the way, I'm reading this whole thing because we just spent 2 years of our life, 2 years of our country's precious time arguing about this. How many millions of dollars have we spent? How much could we have done had we not wasted all of this time? I think that it is fine to have done this. I think we needed to do this. It's important to know. However, the back and forth all the way, we've been saying, wait until the report is out. Wait until the report is out. Now the report is out. Has anybody really read it? We've taken 2 years. Let's take a moment and just look at the facts before we start arguing even more. And let's maybe perhaps outline a direction on where we can heal the country. I think the president has an enormous opportunity in front of him. He has the Kavanaugh moment, and he has to seize it today or tomorrow.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. As Stu said, today is the day that you want to join the blaze because you're going to get all of the biggest voices in conservative media talking about this, so you have access to everybody. Eric Bolling, Mark Levin, and I don't know, 100 others. Steven Crowder. You want to hear what they have to say? Subscribe today to The Blaze. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn and you're going to save $10. Just try it out for the month. You are not going to cancel, I promise you, because it's a great service now. It's blazetv.com, promo code Glenn. Pat, your take.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that, you know, you're spinning it the way you are.
Really?
Yeah, a little disappointed.
Okay.
I thought better of you.
Really?
And Stu.
Okay.
And obviously you're ignoring the blatant evidence of the president and his Russian collusion. Just whatever.
What's the blatant evidence?
I mean, we played it on my show because I'm a truth teller.
Okay.
And I don't know about you.
All right.
But here's the blatant evidence of the president colluding with Russia.
Right. Okay.
Right here.
My last election, basically.
Yeah.
After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. I trust.
me this information to Vladimir and Stanford.
Wait, so there, hang on. That's the last president.
Well, yes, but it is a president colluding with Russia. And I'd really kind of like to know why nobody cared about that, as he colluded on camera with Russia. But this, this is amazing. So I
have to tell you, I really thought that there was going to be something. Really did.
Because of Trump's reaction to it. He was so negative about the Mueller investigation, almost to the point where people thought he was going to fire. Fortunately, he didn't fire Mueller. Wouldn't that have been a disaster had he fired Mueller?
Yeah.
And then who knows who would have taken over and what would have happened with that? And it would have looked really bad.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, to have complete exoneration on the collusion thing is amazing.
Amazing.
To the point where CNN actually called him exonerated. And MSNBC said vindicated. And I never thought I'd hear that come out of their mouths.
ABC News as well was
ABC,
the same.
Yeah.
I mean, they are all saying it's a huge, huge win for the president.
And you know how that galls them. Oh, they didn't want to have to. They didn't want to do that.
And that's the problem here.
They thought this problem. They were rooting for a president to actually be a traitor. What's his face? Brian Stelter actually had a guy on who said, you probably remember this, that the president might be a Russian agent, that he might have not just colluded with Russia, but he was a Manchurian candidate who may have grown up as a Russian agent. I mean,
I have to tell you,
that far with this.
I have to tell you, what's amazing to me is they wouldn't listen. I mean, you know, the audio you just played of Obama saying, mm-hmm. hey, listen, I had more latitude and would you transmit that to Vladimir for me? They weren't interested in even talking about it, let alone investigate.
Right.
They weren't even interested in talking about it. Had this come back and Mueller had found evidence of collusion, I would have seriously looked at it, wanted to know the facts, wouldn't have taken it from mm-hmm. the media, want mm-hmm. to know the facts, and I would have supported that, assuming that it was real information.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the rule of law was followed and they found him guilty, I would have gone and said, come on, guys, we have to stand against this. The Democrats are not willing to do that. They're not willing
not
to do
all.
That. And I don't mean the Democrats in the middle of the country. I mean the ones in Washington. They're not. They are operating on, if he's not guilty of this, we know he's guilty of something. That's a witch hunt. That is the definition of a witch hunt.
I think the one thing that gets left out of this a little bit is the witch hunt existed from the media. It existed from the Democrats, but there's no evidence that it existed from Mueller.
No.
And you know, witch hunts typically find their witches. There's not a lot of witch hunts that are like, couldn't find a witch.
Right.
Like, this is one where if it was a witch hunt, you don't hire Bob Mueller for it.
He would have made something happen.
Yeah, you come out and you get somebody who's going to find something on him. And what happened here is they didn't find anything. And I think that speaks to the idea that Mueller actually took the title of this report seriously. The title of the report is Report on the Investigation into Russian Interference in the 2016 Presidential Election, not How Do We Get Donald Trump, which is what the media was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like he actually looked at what the Russians did and got incredibly valuable information about their game plan, the players involved, how they did these things.
They actually did things.
They did
try to influence the election.
Of course they did.
Just not in conjunction with Donald Trump.
Right.
Or his campaign.
That's
the other thing. Nobody in the campaign was implicated in this. That's pretty amazing.
Now, they did come out with some other things, but they were not. All those people who have been arrested had nothing to do with this. It had everything to do with things they were doing also on the side, which we told you about during the election. That was one of our biggest problems with Donald Trump. A, I didn't believe that he was going to do the things that he was going to do, that he said he was going to do. He has done most of those. I stand corrected. B, he surrounded himself with the worst people imaginable. And I said, you're going to have massive investigations because these guys are dirty. And I remember saying at the same time, and yet he's raised these great kids. I don't understand it. Okay. His kids, I was worried about Ivanka, who has turned out to be good. I was worried about her with the green thing and her her relationship with her dad. Would he cave? He didn't. I was wrong on that. But we were right on the people who he surrounded himself with. Those are the people that they found were doing other Manafort, things.
Roger Stone.
Right. Not mm-hmm. necessarily Cohen. Related Cohen. To this.
Mm-hmm. Michael yeah. Cohen. Yeah,
right.
You know, all those people.
All of those people. So this is an old problem now that has corrected itself because he fired most of those people.
Yeah. All the people that we warned about, he has now distanced himself from. The only one that's kind of an exception to this is Michael Flynn, who I would not be surprised at all if he gets pardoned. Out of this, because Flynn lied during this investigation. I never got the sense Trump actually wanted to fire him at right. that time. You know, he went along with it because, you know, he had lied to Pence supposedly, mm-hmm. and that was, you know, it's a huge problem. You gotta have some standards in your White House. But I've always felt that he thought Flynn kind of got a raw deal, and he's the least of the worries out of that group. I would not be surprised at all if Flynn just gets a pardon from the president on this. But, you know, the other people, like, you know, people like Manafort who were doing things years and years and years ago that got, you know, caught for all sorts of stuff. I mean, those are really
and
bad people.
Trump was wrong on Manafort. He came out and said Manafort got a bad raw deal. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He's only serving, I think, 7 years. He should be in jail for the rest of his life. That guy was a bad guy long before he met Donald Trump. What he was doing with Ukraine yeah. was
and things
absolutely
unrelated brutal. To Trump. Completely,
completely unrelated. Right. Yeah, completely unrelated. Yeah, that guy was a criminal long before he met Donald Trump.
Definitely.
I mean, look, they did. I think it was a half dozen Trump associates got indicted. All of them, though, for either things completely unrelated or lying to investigators. Good lesson to not lie to investigators here yeah. in the middle of this.
Should have learned that with the Clinton yeah. investigations.
Yeah,
because that's
tell
the only
truth.
Thing that anybody went down for in that one.
So
too.
So let's lead by example. And I didn't. I don't recall saying this, but just in case I ever did, if I ever said that Mueller was a hack, I don't remember any of her saying this, anything like this. But let's just lead by example. Mueller is not the guy that the right has made him into. The Democrats were right about
sure.
Mueller.
And many Republicans, especially at the beginning.
Yes.
Right? Like people came out and said, yeah, Mueller's a great pick for this. And over time, the
we
narrative
sides.
Became...
Everybody picks sides.
Yeah. I okay. mean, look, it doesn't seem that that was the case at all.
Right. So we were wrong about Mueller. Anybody who said that on our side was wrong about Mueller.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. But it seems as though he was very thorough. Mm-hmm. The attorney general said he was given everything that he asked for. There was nothing that they turned him down that he wanted to do. He was very thorough, and he came out with a very thorough report. And when it was in question, he said... It's in question. I don't want to make this decision. It's in question. I don't know. That took great balls to not fall on one side or the other. That took great balls. People are going to say, oh, well, he just wimped out. No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
He couldn't prove it.
He couldn't prove it. And so that is the hardest position, I think, to take, especially because I bet he has personal feelings one way or another towards the president. Now, let's see. If the media and those in Congress can say, you know what? We were wrong about the president. We said that he was lying, that he was colluding, mm-hmm. that he was treasonous.
To listen to Maxine Waters, that's not how they're going to handle it.
No.
So.
Well, we should dismiss anyone who can't handle it that way.
Yeah.
We should dismiss anybody who is still stirring this up because what we learned in the first half of this investigation in the report that came out yesterday was they wanted to stir up the Russians wanted to stir up animosity between the American people. They've done it.
Yeah,
we
sure
now
did.
Know the president was not involved, nor was anybody else. No other American was involved in that. Thank God. No other American was involved in that and took that bait.
Mm-hmm.
But we as the American people have taken the bait. We now know what happened. We now know the truth of what they were looking to do. It is up to each of us now to say, I'm not a Russian operative. I know what they're trying to do. And
not gonna play that game.
I will not stir this up even more.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. All right, so the Mueller report came out on Friday. People are starting to say, we've got to see the whole thing. Well, you can't. It's explained in the Attorney General's letter. We went over that last hour. But anybody who is calling for that is being disingenuous, or at least hasn't even read the 4-page report.
I mean, you can say you want it, right? And you can say you want the maximum amount released that is legal.
Yes.
Right? That's an okay position. It's the position that Barr took in the letter. We want to make as much of this public as possible, but some of it is restricted by law. We're bringing in the special counsel to determine what parts of this can be released.
And we'll release it as soon as we can, and we'll release what we can.
Totally a fair way of looking at
any
this.
Any calls of, why won't they release at this point, is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, so let me give you the winners and the losers. The loser, big loser, Democrats. Second biggest loser, media. And I only say that the Democrats are the biggest loser because the Democrats are not going to learn from this. They are not going to turn, and they're going to double down. And it's going to make them look even more extreme. It's going to make them look absolutely ridiculous. Nobody wants to hear this anymore. Nobody wants to hear it.
No, and you can understand their motivation. If they can get 50,000 pages, they certainly will be able to mine out a couple of things that are at least politically embarrassing to the president in some way. Right, there's going to be something in there that they can use to their advantage, which is why they want to see the whole thing.
So I went on the air when I was at Fox. I went on the air and I said, President Obama is a liar. Do you remember during the State of the Union where he was saying, you know, the cost of your health care is going to go down,
yeah,
and we're not going to use this for any illegals. And somebody shouted, liar.
Yeah. Joe Wilson, you lie.
Yeah, you lie. And I went on the air and said, he's right. He is lying. He is lying. And I was called into Roger Ailes' office, who everybody thinks is this evil, you know, Republican who just would do anything he could to destroy Barack Obama. And he said, do not say that again. And I said, what are you talking about? He may misspeak. He may have a different point of view, but no American, I don't care what side you're on, wants to hear that their president is a liar. Now, I happen to disagree with that. I think people want to know the truth, and people are tired of hearing I misspoke when the evidence points to they know. We have the evidence that he knew this would not work. It was a Trojan horse to bring us to single-payer health care, which is where we're what they're arguing about now. We knew that because we had audio tape of him saying, and so I continued to say he was a liar. Now, did that help my case at all? I don't think so in the long run. I think Roger was right in the long run, that people don't want to hear that, and if you are on the other side, you certainly are affected by that, and it pushes you away and it makes you say, you know what? I just can't even listen to you. I can't even listen to you. And so we draw sides. That's a compelling case not to call the president a liar. However, that doesn't reach to this level. The American people do not want to hear that their president was colluding with a foreign government. That makes him a foreign agent, an enemy of the American people. Nobody wanted to hear that, but that's what the press and the Democrats have been saying now for 2 years. 2 years. Now the evidence shows that's not true. You can say whatever you want about the president. You can say he exaggerates. He does lie on this or that. He does this, or I think he's out of control on his tweets or whatever. You can say all of that. But this particular charge, he's been exonerated. He had nothing to do with the Russians trying to get information and to hack into our election. He had nothing to do with it. And it's now been proven by the special counsel every single person on the left loved, said was the archetypal guy the perfect guy to have. Well, he's just ruled. Now, for you to continue down this road, which the Democrats are, they are bleeding on the table and they will drain themselves of all the blood. And quite honestly, I'm kind of thrilled about it. I'm thrilled. But the American people and good Democrats will not want to hear any more about him colluding, because it's now been proven. And if you're just going to continue to do this, it's best just to wrap it up and then go find something else if that's what you want to do.
And you realize the heat of the moment allows such odd decisions to be made. For example, the left has said this entire time, assuming that Trump had done something illegal and something horrible, they went the entire time building up the credibility of Bob Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, alternatively, I think on the other side of this, you know, Trump and the people on the right spent the entire time degrading the credibility of Bob Mueller. So it's like neither of those was a good decision, right? I think from the Democrats' position, now they have to completely go back on themselves and say, well, what we meant to say was he totally did not. Because their first answer is just, well, we're sure there's something in there that he found, but, you know, that's not in the summary. So they're going to go after Barr first. But if they get a lot more material from Mueller and they don't get the crimes that they want, they're going to look ridiculous because they're going to have to start turning on Mueller. And I think the same thing can be said about the right. I mean,
yes,
look, there was no reason, especially when obviously Donald Trump had exclusive information in this, right? He had information that no one else had, which is he didn't actually do it, right? Like, he knew the whole time that he didn't do it. So he knew the whole time that there was a really good chance that they were going to find nothing was going on. So he was protecting, I think, himself, and I think his people around him were protecting themselves in case something came out that they thought was wrong, that they would be able to say, well, this guy's a hack and we don't want to listen to him. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, like, well, I don't think that was ever true. And now that he's come out and exonerated the president completely when it comes to collusion, you know, the Republicans are all over the place on record saying Mueller was in the middle of a witch hunt, which is just, you know, I don't think that that's a fair analysis of what he was doing. And again, like, you go back to Salem, they weren't like, oh, we couldn't find any witches today. They always found witches. A witch hunt indicates that you're finding people that are guilty of nothing, so you don't need to create things.
So the whole thing, though, Stu, is both sides were wrong for saying that it was a witch hunt, because you had to know what Mueller was doing. And Mueller was very silent. Quiet.
Yeah.
It was a witch hunt on the media side.
Yeah, I think that's totally true.
Okay? It was absolutely a witch hunt. They would have taken absolutely anything.
And they got nothing.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have mattered what they got. They would have taken anything. And that's why they are an incredible loser on this. Instead of waiting for the facts, they wanted it to be true so badly that they put people like John Brennan on. Former CIA, you want to talk about somebody who has no credibility. He was on the air saying this guy is a traitor, that the president is committed treason against the United States. And the media went with it. The media should be asking today, John Brennan, where are you here? What happened here? They hyped and looked at everyone who could possibly say something bad about the president, and they ridiculed anybody who said anything good. Now, let me ask you. And I hope you can answer this easily. We are on the air today saying the president was cleared. Now, it is still open on interpretation, and I think it's a valuable exercise, but I happen to agree with the attorney general on this, that he did not engage in obstruction of justice. He's just a horse in a hospital. That's what he is. He's a horse in a hospital. No one knows what the horse is going to do. This is, what's his name, the comedian that did this whole thing on a horse in a hospital. And it's so true. We don't know what the horse is going to do because there's never been a horse in a hospital. Okay. So that, to me, that is a good enough explanation on why he was firing people, et cetera, et cetera. And there was no crime. So what would he be covering up? If they would have found that he was involved with the Russians, do you believe we would be on the air today saying, oh, that's not true, Bob Mueller is wrong, and we've got to stop these people? Or do you think we would be on the air saying, okay, that's an indictment, now it has to be proven in front of a court of law? That's a bad thing for the president, but we don't know until we see all of the facts and we can run it through, but this will probably mean impeachment. Do you think we would be saying that today? Or do you think we would just be towing the line to support the president blindly?
Is this a listener quiz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you would say that we would be saying, looks like it's going to be impeachment, and let's wait for all of the facts to come out, but this doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that from your media source today? Ask yourself about every media source, left and right. Are they behaving consistently? Would they be saying the same thing if it had turned out the other way? And what are they saying today? Ask that about your candidates.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
With the Blaze TV is Eric Bolling, and Eric is up in Washington, friends with the president. How are things in Washington today, Eric? What is the what's the feeling at the White House?
I think I've been on the phone and texting and talking to a lot of my friends there, not the president himself, but just about all his, you know, the senior advisors to him and whatnot in his communications department. They really were kind of holding back a little bit and just watching the events unfold on TV and in the media. And I found it very interesting that they didn't jump immediately. They spent a couple of days trying to figure out the reaction. Maybe they were waiting for AG Barr's assessment of what was going on. But, you know, there was an anxiety. They're ready to go, and they're ready to basically tell the world that this has been what we've been saying for the better part of 2 years, and finally they're vindicated. They feel good. They're very confident. They feel very, very good. This is a win for the president. This is a win for the administration. This will be the 2020, motto. You know, they try. You know what, Glenn, I tweeted this morning. I tweeted, and it, you know, I held off too the whole weekend also. I tweeted this morning. It's my first tweet since Friday. And it was this. It was, since the New York Times and the Washington Post each received a Pulitzer Prize for their reportage on Trump and Russian collusion, and now we know that was all fake news, do I get nominated as a potential Pulitzer Prize winner for taking the other side of that argument for the last 2 years? And so I just find it very, very interesting. I watch a lot of cable, and the breathless change in the tone, like all of a sudden Mueller, who was the best investigator the world had ever seen, is now, well, he left a lot of holes. He left a lot of opportunity. He left a lot of opportunity for states to pick up where he left off. So,
well, we've seen this. This is really nothing new, is it, Eric? I mean, this is what they did with Covington. They said, look at this kid. Look at this kid. Look what's happening. And then when that turned out not to be true, they said, well, those kids they're guilty of something. I mean, look at these old pictures from 20 years ago that don't have anything to do with these kids. I mean, they will go and they'll give it a day where they say, okay, all right, well, it must have been wrong. And then the less reasoned heads will gather around and they'll say, yeah, but he's guilty of something else.
Yeah, well, and there's no evidence of that whatsoever. They're just grasping. I just find it very odd that the day after this, the report is released, that the leftists start saying, oh, boy, can you believe this wall-to-wall coverage on this thing? When meanwhile, for the last 2 years, that's what they had. Every single hour on MSNBC and CNN had led with, you know, literally almost every single hour of the last 2 years, all day long on each of the networks, mm-hmm. with something Trump and Russian collusion related. Now they're saying, well, you know,
well, they've trained their audience, you know, like Pavlov dog. They've trained their audience. You come here and we're going to feed you this food. And now that there is no food left in the bowl, they don't know what to feed their audience because their audience is used to this.
they're trying to feed them that, oh, it's not over. You know, it's not a Trump win, but it is. I mean, at least some of the Washington Post, for example, said no collusion on their headline. Finally, they're going to be honest with their readers and say, look, you know, we wasted our time for 2 years. Yeah. I'll never forget. I was on Fox
quickly
the day they announced that they were going to go ahead and hire Mueller to come on. I said, this is going to be a massive waste of time and money. And here we are 2 years later.
Yeah. Eric Bolling, thank you so much. You can find Eric and his show, America, tonight on Blaze TV. Join us now, blazetv.com. Use the promo code Beck. Save 10% right now.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
There is one thing that we can do that will make or break us. I believe if we miss this opportunity, the United States of America will exist no longer, at least in the form that any of us recognize, and we will become a very, very dark nation, and that is abortion. It has never been more clear than it is right now how you can be hearing politicians talk about ending the life of a child after they're born. And the country doesn't seem to really react like, oh my gosh, that's a killer, is beyond me. And if we don't stand together and turn back to God and turn for that one basic principle of life, I think we're toast. I think this is our last call. The good news is I was watching a film recently. It was screened in advance for me, and I went into it with much trepidation because I know the person who the story is about. And I thought, please don't wreck this story. Please don't wreck this story with something that's really preachy and just only Bible people will watch. Please don't wreck this story. And they didn't. It is called Unplanned. It opens this weekend. Quickly, I will tell you, I am flying out to Utah on my own dime to be able to be at the Jordan Commons at 6:30 and Thanksgiving Point Theater at 7:45. I'm going to do premiere opening screenings of this movie in Utah. It is rated R, but it, as you'll find out, there's no reason for it to be rated R except for political reasons. Jordan Commons and Thanksgiving Point, that is this Friday. You can go to megaplextheaters.com. I don't think they have them up for sale yet, but I'm told by noon Pacific they'll be up. But that is this Friday. Please come and see this movie and join me. Joining me now is the woman who I know, who I thought, oh, please don't wreck this movie. It's Abby Johnson. She is the CEO and founder of And Then There Were None, and she was the author of Unplanned, which is now a movie, the true life story of her life. And Ashley Bratcher, she is the one who could have ruined this movie and didn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. She plays Abby in the movie, so we're thrilled to have both of you guys here. First of all, Abby, you're, I think, about to change the world.
Oh, well, that's kind. I don't know. I've people have said, oh my gosh, well, you know, what has this been like? And I don't know. It's very, it feels very vulnerable to have this out. You know, it's one thing to write your story. It's something else to
see it
and have it visually out there for everybody.
And
but
you're 25 feet tall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I tell people all the time, I didn't sign up to do this film so that, you know, Abby Johnson would be a household name. I really did it so that people would see that God's redemption and his mercy is something that should be talked about in every home, and to make it in a way that it's not cheesy. And it's
you
not
you had the same fear.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. When I first got the email and I found out who these guys were, and they said, you know, oh, we, you know, and I found out they were the directors of God's Not Dead. I thought, well,
that's exactly what I thought. So I'm being real honest. That's exactly what I thought. Okay. Well, oh,
yeah.
Well,
I was like, well, I don't know. Like, my story's not like a God's Not Dead sort of story, you know?
In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think what makes this story so powerful is, for people who don't know who you are, you had an abortion.
Two.
You had two abortions. You then ran, you joined working at a Planned Parenthood as a volunteer. Then you ran the clinic for Planned Parenthood. You became their employee of the year nationally.
Yeah.
And then, when we'll get into this in a little while, then you had something happen to you in the clinic that changed your course forever. So you are not one to point the finger. You're not, your whole, the reason why I think you'll change the world is because the movie starts with the people who are hanging, you know, holding the posters up that are, you know, showing the dead babies, and they're calling them baby killers. You're not going to appeal to anybody with that. You're just not.
No.
And you start with that, and it shows you pointing that out, and the good guys that you're now, you know, with, they're saying, we're not with them either.
Right.
Your whole message is one of love the mothers.
Yeah, I can't point fingers. I mean, that's what I tell people all the time. I've had two abortions. I have overseen over 22,000 abortions. I'm not one that can condemn or point the finger at anybody. I mean, I've done it. But I sometimes wonder, you know, if I had gone in that day, that first day that I went in to volunteer, and those aggressive people were not on the sidewalk. Let's say they weren't there, and it was just people peacefully praying on the sidewalk. I wonder if I would have come back or not. I think maybe I wouldn't have, because I remember thinking, if that's the Christian pro-life movement, somebody dressed up like the Grim Reaper, yelling baby killer, calling them murderers, telling them that they're going to go to hell, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am. And so this film, though, really shows...
It allows you to frame it in your head that you're being compassionate because you know these women are going through hell.
Yes.
And to have those guys outside, you're actually being compassionate by walking them into Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's what I tell people. When you're out there screaming at someone or pointing the finger, then you are creating a safe space inside that abortion facility. And you never want the abortion facility to be seen as a safe haven. Those are the people that are going to take your child's life. They're not your savior. But when you're out there acting like maniacs, that's the perception. That's what happens to the one. And I mean, on no planet anywhere would I, as a woman who has had a crisis pregnancy, be like, that guy in the Grim Reaper suit, he seems really approachable to me.
Like, some good points over there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That guy telling me I'm going to hell.
Right.
I want to talk to him.
That sickle is kind of hot, really. That and the robes.
Yeah.
So let me switch over to Ashley here for a second. Did you know her story before you got the phone call?
No, I had no idea who Abby was. Well, I knew when they had offered me the role who she was, but when I auditioned, I knew nothing about her. I blew off the audition. I had this crazy lady on Instagram send me a message and tell me that she had heard from God and thought that I was meant to play the role. Mm. I was like, this lady's insane. Insane. And so I blew it off, but she was really persistent, and she kept messaging me and saying, Ashley, I really, really think that you are supposed to play this role. Will you please let the producers send you a script? And I was like, okay, why not? And so, like Abby, I was kind of curious, who are these guys making this movie? I thought it was going to be another cheesy Christian movie. I had no idea who it was. And I read a couple pages, and Abby was working at Planned Parenthood, and the script that I got And I thought she was a pistol. I was like, wow, she's really fun. I kind of want to get to know who this lady is. And I looked her up online and I watched one of her videos and I was floored. I knew immediately after hearing her testimony, my heart was broken. I had been blinded. And I just remember crying and telling my husband that I had to be a part of telling this story to the world.
And you didn't get the job until the day before the filming?
I got a phone call that said, hey, Ashley, the role is yours. Can you get on a plane in 5 hours? And without hesitation, because I had really committed to praying over it and I was so moved by the story, I said yes. I just got on the plane, hit the ground running in Oklahoma. We had 4 days of pre-production to get ready to film. And I, as
and
you know,
and to memorize the script.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. And the script is over 100 pages. I'm in 99% of the movie. And so I was calling Abby, texting Abby, listening to her book on Audible, reading the script, learning everything I could about the pro-life movement because I was not involved beforehand. It was a nonstop learning effort.
In 4 days.
In 4 days. And then it just continued on from there. I mean, every single day there was... I just took it step by step, scene by scene, and I was learning as I went. And
how many days were you in production?
I think there were 32 on the call sheet, but you know, we didn't work on Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah.
Remarkable that that happened. How nervous were you, Abby, that somebody is playing you? I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Well, I was actually more nervous that they didn't have somebody to play me because everybody else had been cast except for me. And I was like, okay.
It's kind of important.
I'm not an actress.
It's like a John Wayne movie without John Wayne.
I was like, I can't step in and play myself. So we need to find somebody. And they had offered the role. They had talked to two gals previously about it. And they were just very honest. The directors were very honest with them and had said, you know, you may never work in Hollywood if you take this, if you take this role. I mean, this could be a career killer for you. They were both younger, and they were just like, I'm just not ready to, and that's fine, you know, but they wanted them to know ahead of time. So, and then they called me or text me or something and they said, okay, we found the girl to play you. We're going to offer her the job. Please be praying that she takes it. And I thought, I've been praying. Please be praying. I've been praying. Like, I'm really praying. I don't have to go to Oklahoma for 8 weeks. Like, so, so anyway, yeah, I mean, it was a little nerve wracking because, I didn't know anything about Ashley. And, I knew about a film she had played in, and I was like,
thanks, Abby.
So I was
about the film or her? Because she's, Ashley, I mean, you're really good in this. Stu and I looked at each other before it started, and after the first scene, we looked back at each other like, okay, all right,
this will be
okay.
Good.
I'm not holding onto the seat as much as I thought I would. In fact, I wasn't holding on by within 10 minutes. I mean, you're really good.
Thank you.
You're really good.
Well, to be fair, I've grown as an actress.
It was just not a good film. And I was like, I hope this isn't representative of like what this film is going to be like. I mean, that was
so you had actor and then the God's not dead thing. You went in positive.
Okay, we're coming in hot here. Yeah. Like we're gonna.
But we did like each other when we talked on the phone the first time. Yeah, we got along immediately.
And so I thought once I talked to her, I was like, okay, like I don't think she's going to cheese it up. Like I think she's going to do a good job. But I mean, it is nerve wracking because I don't want somebody that's not going to represent me and my story well.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Okay, so I got to take a break. And then we come back. I want to see how you felt, you know, as you were making it and as you were talking to her and then with the final outcome.
Yeah.
You know, I would have lost 10 pounds of sweat going into the movie theater.
You know, Abby, Glenn said he couldn't imagine someone portraying him on screen. However, he has been portrayed by both Homer Simpson and Eric Cartman.
Well.
So I
have been. And I thought they were pretty darn good. They were pretty good. So that's great. Thank you for reminding me of that.
I got to rewatch those now.
Yeah, I know. I do. I forgot about the Eric Cartman.
Yeah.
And you put me in a parka. And
it's pretty much Eric Cartman.
It's pretty much it. All right. So Ashley, tell me about the experience of actually filming it and getting into it and doing it.
It was the most incredible and challenging experience I've ever had as an actor, because telling Abby's story, there's a tremendous responsibility to tell it accurately and honestly, and to make sure that she's proud of me. And I wanted to make sure that I understood everything that she went through. Coming from the pro-life side, it was easier for me to understand, but being able to work on the pro-choice side of it up front and see some of the things that she saw and take part of the POC room, the Pieces of Children room, and being able to do that scene, I had to walk out several times before I could get through that scene. And I had to call her and say, okay, like, how did you think of this? How can I get through this? And
so I'd like to ask that of Abby. First of all, everything in the movie is accurate. What was said by the Planned Parenthood people, I mean, anything of importance. They didn't come take the sign down at the end, but
They did.
Well, the, okay, yes. But
not
the,
Mike Lindell.
Yeah, not Mike Lindell.
But the he sign did come
okay,
down.
All right. So when you're... Is it POC? Is that really what it stands for in Planned Parenthood?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it stands for products of conception, but we said parts of children or pieces of children.
As a joke,
as
almost.
A joke, yeah.
So it shows in the movie that you go in, and usually I would imagine that they take people in and they don't start with the feet and the hands and right. and everything, because it's disturbing. Mm-hmm. But the first time you were in the POC room, that's what they showed you. And you didn't seem to have a problem with it. And I've got to take a break now. So when I come back, I want you to talk about that experience and why that wasn't a turning point for you at all.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.